So if we're ready to go for Acts chapter 13, we'll read through all of that. It's quite a long chapter, but you get a flavor of where of the church in Acts as it's taken course. And this is actually the start. It shows the start of Paul's ministry. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, used to pray or get people to pray for him for boldness to witness, kind of like Sid did. And I know that lots of, you know, I've done it lots, but when I go out with the youth on a Friday, or if I go out in the street, you know, there's that little bit of fear, but sometimes that you can push through with boldness. I know that if you've watched Ray Comfort, he goes and witnesses 6 days a week in America, and in fact all over the world, and he still says when he goes out there's that little bit of fear that he has to overcome. But often I find that the fields are ripe for the harvest. When I did my little stint of hitchhiking from Southampton, people are open and people do want to talk. There's only very few that are antagonistic or anti, and I think people do want to talk. But we need to pray for boldness as well. But as we're going through this, we will read and find out a little bit more. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up from Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands unto them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were there at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John their minister, to minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they came and found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And he said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, will they not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt bind, not seeing the sun for a season." And imminently there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he had saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they went to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them and said, "You men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after he gave them unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, whom shall fulfill all of my will. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised up Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think you that I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me whose shoes, the shoes of his feet, I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, that they have fulfilled them condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are as witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten you. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believed are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall no wise believe, though a man declare unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you have put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you to the light of the Gentiles, to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as was adorned to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coasts. But they shook off the dust from their feet and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We thank God for his word. Now we've been doing this series, taking it all the way back from the kings of Israel, all the way through Jesus Christ to the day of Pentecost. And then when the disciples went out in the power of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that were done, and then they come across how God speaks to Paul and on the road to Damascus, and Paul is changed. He sees Jesus, says, Why are you persecuting me? And Paul has a change. He's blinded, and then he receives his sight. And then we find there's a period of time where he goes off into the wilderness with Barnabas. And it must have been a time of preparation. But Paul is now ready to go out on a missionary journey with Barnabas. And they go out to preach the word of God. And as they do, they're opposed by some, mainly by the Jews who didn't believe and receive the word of God. If you looked at that passage, it said they were jealous at the crowds. It was almost like they weren't looking at the scriptures that were about Jesus. It was like they were jealous of all these crowds coming to Paul and Barnabas as they preached. And Paul and Barnabas were separated unto God to go and preach to the Gentiles. Now, many of the disciples were there to preach to the Jews and to expound to the Jews the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. But Paul and Barnabas were separated unto Jesus. Now, just before that, in Acts 12, it says Herod died and was eaten by worms because he did not give glory to God. But then, in the first of this, it says, the first verses of Acts 13, it says, "Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So he said, "Separate for me, Paul, Barnabas and Saul, for the work of which I have called them." And then fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So the group of disciples and believers sent them out. Kind of like what we did with Portia when she went out. Kind of like when we did with Sam, and he's gone out. Where is he now? The Philippines. So he's going around Asia, both of them doing fantastic works. And there's other people that have been sent out. Ollie and Ben are in, is it Austria? France. You know, playing football and preaching the word of God. So they've been sent out to do a work, to bring light to the nations, light to those who they meet, like Sid did with the guy Taz, and Alec did yesterday with the people down at Appleby Fair. We have been sent out, and it says to they said, "Now separate me, Paul and Barnabas, send them out. They're to be somebody different, a light to the world." And we as Christians are to be separate. We are to be different, we are to be set apart, and we all are a light wherever we are, in our workplace, in school. The people that we meet, even in our families, that we are to be a light to the earth. And if we are not a light, if we hide our light under a bushel, that's what Jesus said. A light can't be hidden under a bushel. It has to be shown. And it doesn't mean that we all have to preach all of the time to our family till they're sick of us. But we do have to be a light. We do have to be a witness. And we have to be separate and different from the Word of God. So this is where Paul and Barnabas, they went across to Salamis, if you remember from the story. And then they went to Paphos, and then across on their journey up the valley, eventually to Antioch in the next chapter. But they're going on journeys set apart to go and bring the light to the Gentiles. Now, if as we read in the story, there's Jews all over the place. So the Jewish people had spread out, and they had their synagogues in each of the towns that Paul went to. And often when Paul would go into a place, that they'd either receive him, or like the Bereans, they'd check out with the word of God what he said, or he'd cause a riot. And sometimes he was left for dead, sometimes he was stoned, sometimes he was beaten, sometimes he was thrown in prison, but he kept on going in boldness because he'd been set apart to bring this light to the gospel and be separate. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about separation, it goes back to the Old Testament, when the Levites and the priests were separated off for the work of God, and they could go into the presence of God and they could plead on behalf of people, and they took the sacrifices. But in Christ, that we have been separated. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Is that you? Are you a peculiar people? Yes, two people are nodding. So we've been separated out, that we're different than the world. We are a peculiar people. I remember in school, as I went through school, I was in with the lads, you know, because I was reasonably good at sport, you know, in with them mucking about. But we came to a certain age when everybody else started to go out into the world and doing what they wanted to do ungodly things. And I realized that I was different. The way that I brought up was different. That's when it hit home, that realized that I was different. And for a time later on, I entered into that world, but I came back to be separate and different from the world. Separate means to sever, to mark off from others by boundaries, or to set apart for a specific purpose or work. The priests in the Old Testament, the Levites, were set apart to do this work. But we as Christians are a royal priesthood. We're set apart to be different from the world. And I think it's probably more difficult for young people to do this because there's that peer pressure, that pull of the world, but it still does affect every single one of us, this peer pressure, wherever we go. But we are to sever. We are to be different from the world, to be set apart by other boundaries. I mean, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So it says, come out and be separate. The precursor to this was about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that's, as I've preached many times before, that, you know, when we're going for somebody to marry, you know, we've got to have somebody that's walking the same path and in the same light. And emotionally, we may be able to get on with somebody, but spiritually, we need to be in union and be different. But this says to be set apart. In the book of Ezra, it says that then the children of Israel who returned from captivity ate together, all who had been separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land, in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. Now, as we learned maybe months ago, it could be a year ago now, about the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they were coming back from captivity in Babylon. And one of the reasons that they were sent there, because they kept marrying these foreign people who would come in and introduce their ideas and their philosophies, and they're worshipping other gods. And God said, you know, I'm gonna let this nation Babylon come in. And when they come back to the land, it says that they ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. So there was a separation. And if you read the book of Ezra at the end of it, and a little bit Nehemiah, when people had come back into the land and started to marry those who didn't have a heart for God, Ezra was pulling his hair. He was getting really angry. He was wanting the people of Israel, when they came back in, to serve God and him only, to be separate from the other nations. And I believe in Christ today. If we are in Christ, then we have been separated, we have been shown the light, and we're to be different from this world. And in Leviticus, it says to the priests, but I have said to you, you shall inherit the land, and I will give it to you and possess a land flowing with milk and honey. And I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. And you shall be holy for me. For I am the Lord, am holy, and I've separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. The Lord Jesus Christ has bought us with a price. We belong to him. In fact, we have given our lives to him. You know, as we have been separated off, we've placed our lives in his hands. He says he is the good shepherd, and he leads us down a path into green pastures, into life more abundantly. And he's leading us on the straight and the narrow path. And you know, everything about Jesus is just, he leads us in a different way, but he leads us into good things. He leads us into joy and peace. And this world tries to appeal to our fleshly senses. You know, all the things that we think about in the world, immorality, you know, it's appealing, but it leads to death and destruction. You think about drugs, and I'm sure the first time you take drugs, it's the biggest, you know, it'll be a big rush, but eventually it takes and it sucks the life out of you. You know, drinking loads, it's appealing because everybody else does it, and then it just sucks everything out of you, and all your money goes. People who get hooked on drink, and all these things, the gambling. Yeah, if I can only win the lottery, and we get sucked in, and then every money, and then we get addicted, all these things appear. But we're called to be separate, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him is life. We're to be separate from the world. You know, the priests were set apart. The priests were set apart to go into the very presence of God. They were there to take the sacrifices and to burn them on the altar on behalf of the people. They were there to enter into the presence of God, and the high priest was to go into the Holy of Holies. And they were to be different, they were to be separate, they were to do certain things. And they weren't to eat certain things, they weren't to drink certain drinks. And he even said about the priests, he says, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink. Whenever you go into the tent of the meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for generations to come. So they weren't to drink stuff that was rotting and fermenting. They weren't, and as in the Passover meal was to do with, you know, unleavened bread and, you know, drink that was fermenting. They weren't to drink this. They were to be different and they were to be separate. And as we go on through the Bible, it says in 1 John, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. The world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. So we are called out to be separate and be different, to live a different life than this world. And I just, you know, within the church as a whole, we're called for a different teaching. We're called to live by the word of God. The church as a whole is, some churches and some major denominations are turning away from what God says in the Bible. You know, all over in America, in this country, they're teaching things that are not of God. And they're not being separate. They're being sucked into a worldly system. Because immorality has played such a part in our media and in our culture, that the church is changing. It's saying, yeah, it's okay to have, you know, it's okay to have sex before marriage. It's okay to have these gay marriages. It's okay, you know, even in the last few weeks, it's kind of like a slippery slope. And what's happened in the last few weeks, that the Church of England is saying that they want to change it so a transgender person, once they've changed their sex, can have another baptism, which is wrong on so many levels. So this, within the church, this is happening. But God has called us out to be separate. In this church, we believe that the word is the authority and it is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, correction, and reproof. We believe it's inspired by God from the beginning to the end. We believe that when God says he created the earth in 6 days, that he created it in 6 days. We believe that when God says immorality is wrong, then it's wrong. When we believe it says stealing is wrong, it's wrong. The word of God is the truth. All the way through the Bible, those who were, it says about Abraham, his faith was accredited to him as righteousness because he believed the word of God. He didn't make up something. He took what God said and he believed it. And the word of God is true. And right from the very beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, I've created all this for you, but do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, or the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. And so Satan, the first thing Satan says is, did God really say? He tried to undermine God's word. He tried to undermine what God had said. And Eve gave in, and Adam gave in. And sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. Faith rests on the word of God. We don't just believe anything. We take the word of God and we believe it. Now, of course, we have to have an understanding of the whole Bible. But when I look at other churches and what they do, they seem to take the Bible and give all these theologies that actually twist it to say what it actually doesn't say in the start. It's like Satan is saying, did God really say? Well, let's change that a bit. Did God really change? Oh, well, that doesn't seem to fit in with society. Let's change that a bit. But God has called us to come out and be separate and be different from the world. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. Over the years, what has come about to influence the church is people that have come in the name of love, a so-called love. In the 60s, what was it? It was to make love and not war. That's what it was done, and that was promoted. You know, it's loving. We can do whatever we want. We can go with whoever we want, and it's okay. It came in the name of love. And what's happening today with the homosexual agenda is it says it's come in the net. Well, if two people of the same sex, if they love it, surely it's all right. You know, they love one another. But God has clearly said from his word that it is not right. And I think, and some people are actually backing that up within the church to say, actually saying, yes, they should get married and it's okay. But what the Bible says, that those people, if you read Galatians, those who do that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So actually backing people to do something that is actually going to send them to a lost eternity is the most unloving thing on the planet. To encourage people to do wrong and back it is so wicked and deceitful. It's actually hatred to them. And the church has been deceived by culture and by those who have come in to sow these seeds. Do not love the world or the things of this world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They are not of the world, as I am of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. So not only are we separate, and the Bible says we are in the world but not of the world, we are called to go out as a light to the nation, as being separate. And God has sent us into the world, and he separated Paul and Barnabas off to do a work for him, to bring this light and to bring this truth and bring the grace of God into the church, that those who had done all these things in the past should come to the light, should repent. And when we go out into the world and expose what is of the world, we go as people who are under grace and who are cleansed sinners themselves. So we hate nobody. You know, everybody is made in the image of God, and we go to bring the light of Jesus Christ. So we're not above anybody. Everybody in here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yes, we have been made righteous in Christ and have been separated. So we're not better than anybody. There's nobody here. Anybody not sinned? Not a hand. You know, all have sinned. So we're not going out thinking that we're better. We point the finger to Jesus Christ, who has died upon the cross, who paid a horrible death to pay for all those sins, and we plead with people to come into his kingdom. So we're sent out to do that. Back to Acts 13. Wherever Paul and Barnabas went, they were opposed. And it says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It is necessary for the word of God to be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to the church. So they'd gone out and they were opposed by religious people. By the Jews at that time that had not accepted the word of God, they were opposed. If we go out into the world, if we speak the word of truth, we will be opposed. Yes, we should do it with all love and all tenderness. Yes, we should be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But we're called to put the truth across, and there will be opposition at some point. If you go out and preach the word of God and preach repentance, then you will find opposition. And it will separate the sheep from the goats. And people may revile you and persecute you because of this. But as Paul went out, you know, every time he was persecuted, he just got stronger. Look, see what happened here. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold. I think when we step out in God, he will give us a boldness to overcome and to see it through. That as we step out in faith, like Sidney Beck's prayed for an opportunity and gave a Bible, and an opportunity came up and they were able to be bold. You know, when I go out in the street, I do have that initial fear of saying something. But when you go out, you find there's a boldness that God gives you, but it comes on your obedience to God. And God gives you the strength to do it. For the Lord has also commanded us, "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they glorified the word of God. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Hallelujah. As many as had been appointed to eternal life, they believed. And as we see, as people come to Christ and you see the scales fall from their eyes and their eyes open. There was a girl that lived with us for a year. And I've said before, she came in and one of the first things she said, she was very, very nice, but she said, "I'm an atheist." And we thought, okay. And she lived in her house and she loved living with it. She had her own room which she could do her college work, but she actually chose to come down and sit in our kitchen table to do the schoolwork with the kids. She loved being around the family. And halfway through the year, she kind of said, "Well, I see there's something in this." And when she left, she said, "I thank you so much that you've shown me the light." She hadn't made a commitment, but she'd asked me to find a church in the area where she'd gone. And she had seen a light. She had seen something different. She'd seen a way. And she's been to church on and off since, but something has changed. She came in as an atheist. And I pray that, like in this passage, she will believe and receive eternal life. So that was Paul's journey. Salamis, Paphos, Perga, Antioch, Iconium, Derbe, Lystra, and back round again. But as they were going round, it says, and the word of God was being spread throughout the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook the dust from their feet against them and they came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And they went round strengthening all the churches. Wherever they went, they strengthened. Lots were filled with joy. Lots wanted to riot against them. So, but wherever they went, they suffered persecution. But there's a promise in Romans 8. And I think one of the boys at the back, did you learn this passage, Romans 8? You did. Do you want to see if you can recite it without looking? No, too long ago. All right then. It does say the young in the Bible, the young should read the scripture in the Word of God. Would you like to read it?
Yes.
Go for it.
"What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?"
Shall I do the last bit? Well read. Well read. What a fantastic passage. When we come across persecution, if we come across persecution, as it's written, "For your sake we were killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Now, when we're sending out missionaries, is that what we give to them? We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Is that a good way to promote it? You know, I think today we promote it by all the nice time the countries will see. I think we should maybe promote it like that. You're sheep for the slaughter. That's the way Paul went out, as sheep for the slaughter. And he did actually die. But what should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Even if they kill our body, they cannot kill our soul for eternal life. Hallelujah. Is this a good sermon? Good word? You know, this is it. For your sake we're killed all the day long. Yet in all these things, what? We are more than conquerors. Do we look like more than conquerors? Just turn to the person next to you. Are they looking like conquerors? If they're playing with their phone, give them a slap. As it is written, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am persuaded. And this is a guy who knew what he was talking about. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in this passage, what we do, we have been separated from the world, but we have been joined to Christ. The church is his bride, and we shall be joined to Christ. We are joined, and we shall be joined as a church, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So my message tonight is to come out and to be separate, to be a light and to be a witness. We are not called to this world. This world lures you in with all sorts of false promises of a great time. But I've been around people and party people who still go out and they have that little buzz. But when they come back down, there's nothing there. There's a void in their soul. We don't need to chase those things. The only thing we need to chase is Jesus Christ and his plan and purpose in our life. He will bring us into all truth, all happiness, all fulfillment, and he will fulfill our purpose in life in him. And he shall not be separated from us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will keep his part of the bargain every single time. And just to finish off, in fact, we'll leave it there. We have been called to be different. If there's not a difference in our life, we've heard testimonies over the last few months from people who have had a foot in both camps. You can't have a foot in both camps. It's all for Jesus. We leave the world completely behind. And we press on towards the goal which is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Paul. I thank you that you separated him to be different, to be a light unto the Gentiles. And I pray, Lord, that now he is gone, I pray, Lord, that we be your light, that you give us the same purpose and the same plan, that you urge us in our heart to be your light in this area. I just pray for any who struggle with the world. I pray that they will see the emptiness of it and they will see the fulfillment of loving you and serving you. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.